Okay, recorder's on. Going online.
I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. Hook, sinker, and line. I said fish.
Yes, indeedy, boys and girls, mums and dads, children of all ages, ships at sea, ships on the rocks. I'm having a drink on the rocks. I could use that right now. Fish and Frank here, RJ in command and control, Robert lost in space. We're not sure where the boy is, but it's somewhere in another country doing something that we don't know what, and we will find out about very soon. In the meantime, we have three of the hosts of a new radio show. It's going to be coming up. It's called Fishy Radio. It's in like fish, she, like F-I-S-H-S-H-E, you know. Cute title. I think so. You know, it's not lady fishing, but, you know, it's fishy. All right. We have Jeannie, who is a local girl. We have Dee, who is a commercial fisherman. We have Alex, who is our newbie in charge of new thoughts. Let's just put it, new and unique thoughts. This is what Alex is going to do for us. So let's start with you, Jeannie. Have you guys all met RJ yet?
Yep.
Yeah, you guys.
Hi, guys.
Okay. Hey, I have a quick comment.
All right.
I think Robert should go on vacation more often.
This is a lovely and talented group, is it not?
It is.
Yes. We have our bookends, and we have the key in the middle. Yeah. All right. So, Jeannie, you're from town here. What do you do? You go fishing a lot.
I fish a lot.
But do you work here in town?
I do. Murdoch on Paulson.
So, tropical construction. So, construction supply girl.
Construction supply.
Yes.
Finance is my fishing habit. Yep.
Hey, all good. Now, Dee, what do you do, Dee? You can come up a little closer. Okay. It's okay. You know, you've known me a long time. I'm relatively safe to be around. No, don't come around that way. Jeannie, you got to stay this way so you're by the mic. Okay. All right, Dee, what do you do?
Well, I work in a family bait trip business.
So, believe it or not, Dee is a commercial fisherman, and she actually sells bait to us at Fish and Frank's. So she's going to be providing. She loves the recreational fish, but she's also a commercial fisherman. So we have Jeannie, our recreational angler. We've got Dee, our commercial fisherman, who sells bait to Fish and Frank's.
The best bait.
That's right. I love Dee's bait.
Nice plug. That's right.
Her shrimp are the sexiest.
And this is Alex. Now, Alex, where do you work?
I work at Fish and Frank's. Very, very lucky girl. Very lucky.
So, you've only been in town a month or so.
Yes, two months now.
2 months in Port Charlotte. And
I had the opportunity to move down. I love fishing and move down here so I could fish every day.
And what's amazing is you have to wonder why I would hire somebody who's so new at the fishing and all this down here to work in Fish and Frank's, obviously, where everybody's supposed to have, you know, the ultimate knowledge. And the one thing is, you cannot teach people to be warm and friendly and nice. You can help them learn how to fish. And for me, it helps me when we have somebody new in the store because I get a different perspective about stuff. They ask questions that I might have forgotten about. And that was one of the reasons I asked Alex to be on the show, is because the longer you've been fishing, now, Jeannie, you've been fishing a lot for a couple of decades, right?
Yes, yeah.
And Dee, you've been on the commercial boats and recreational fishing, and you actually were born and raised here, right?
Yes, sir.
So with having somebody new, we're going to get a new perspective, a new insight as to maybe things we forgot about when we were after us old folks are getting into it here. You know,
yeah, well, my dad used to say, I
forgot more stuff than you know.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And that's kind of what it is. So now we are in heavy debate, and RJ, you have to pay attention to this. We have found out through sources that there is sources going around on the pier that have made the claim, and they are claiming the reason big snook are big is because they have an extra bone, and we should never keep one of these snook, because if we keep all them extra boned fish, we will not have any more big snook. So if there's big snook with the extra bone out there, that's what caused them to be big. So we should never keep any of these snook because they have an extra bone and that's what makes them big. And
RJ, listen, this is the problem with legalizing marijuana. I've warned you guys about this.
Honestly.
The snook will start growing an extra bone.
We need to contact Budweiser because that would be one heck of a commercial for them. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
This is the extra, the rare extra bone snook.
Yeah.
He gets really big.
Yeah.
So, now, Alex is the one who brought this to our attention. And Alex, how did you come about this knowledge of the extra bone snook?
Well, the guys on the pier where I fish, they take real good care of me. They've taught me a lot about fishing, teach me how to tie knots, and this was one of the things that they taught me, that the reason why we shouldn't keep any of the large snook is if we did, there wouldn't be any large snook anymore because they're special and they have an extra bone.
Well, special. Now, we're going to say that there's probably some very special things going on somewhere. There is special. I'm sure it's special, but I think it's more the guys you're talking to.
Absolutely.
Now, how would you, if you're keeping slot fish, and how do you know it had an extra bone or didn't have an extra bone? How would you identify, does this bone stick out somewhere? Have you heard?
No.
Now,
yeah.
Now, actually, we've heard about this in possums. So, well, we know it from moonshining.
I wasn't here for that class.
But, you know, the bone in a possum could, they have an extra bone that could possibly stick out. Now, does a snook have a bone protruding somewhere?
Right. Yeah, where is it located?
Yes.
I'm not sure. So maybe the end of the tail.
Okay. So if you're out there and you're That's catching awesome. A snook with an extra bone protruding from its tail.
Yeah, please call us.
There's a reward, actually. You're going to have a reward for that.
I'll actually pay good money to see this. All right. Out of all the things I've heard with snook, the basic common theory behind why biologists and scientists, who I happen to think most are quackpots and eco-nuts that don't deserve a paycheck. But basically, their theory is big ones have more eggs. And so by letting the bigger ones spawn, you'd have more eggs hatching, more fish going out there. To which I say, horse hockey, you overeducated bunch of idiots. The problem with that is no old creature on the planet breeds as well as young creatures. I can tell you from personal experience, this is absolutely true. There is something to be said for this. But when we used to keep big snook, when snook were legal, big snook taste better than little snook. They're firmer, they're better, they're actually milder tasting, and they're not as kind of slimy type thing.
Yeah.
The meat's much nicer.
Yes.
The only one who says little snook tastes better than big snook are the poor slobs who never could catch big snook. There's no doubt in my mind about that. To me, it's better with a few less eggs in a younger, healthier fish. They've done studies in humans and that find, like, these old guys who marry, you know, old rich guys who marry young girls and have kids, and they're in their, like, 60s and 70s, are much more likely to pass on birth defects, having some type of defects with the offspring. And, you know, like me, I would never feel comfortable having kids at my age. I just don't think it would be a good thing to do. And I would probably shoot myself. But anyway, but that's the reason why they don't want us keeping big snook, because they think they produce so much more eggs. When we would flay out big snook in the 42, 44, 46-inch range, a lot of times the eggs were kind of green colored. They didn't have the nice, wonderful, orangish-red color, and they would literally, they just didn't look healthy.
Yeah.
And it's, every species, in my opinion, as they get older, snook live about 20, 25 years on tops. By the time they get up in that 40-some-inch range, I would be way happier with the world if all we could keep, we could not keep anything under 49 inches. I think catch and releasing 39.5-inch snook all day would be a blast.
Yeah.
And when we got that slot limit, we take out the best. I would say, if I died tomorrow, heck, I had a great life. Don't feel bad. I'm all good. I can go tomorrow happy as a lark. But if my son died, to me that would be a horrific tragedy. He's still got his kids to raise and everything else. And I think the same thing should be said for fish. Why is it the only creature on the planet that little ones don't matter, only old, nearing death ones matter? I'm sorry, that's the way I feel about it. Now, Jeannie, what do you think? Am I right or wrong? You can right or wrong. Either way is fine.
I truly do agree with you. You know, obviously, spawning at an older age or having, you know, is more challenging. I absolutely agree with you. And listen, I'm good with catching 40-inch snook all day long anyhow. So, yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, me too.
So, do you think that we should leave the bigger ones go, more eggs to possibly fertilize, and keep taking the younger ones, or do you think that I'm right, we should take the older ones out?
I think we should take the older ones out.
So, you're on board with that?
I think so.
Can you notice I actually hired all these people? Now, the only one we never know what she's going to say is... Come on, Alex. Let me know. You can hammer me. It's okay.
I think I need to look more into this extra bone situation. I wouldn't want to keep all the big ones and then lead to there not being any big ones anymore. So.
Okay, now, I'm going to move the microphone closer here. You were kind of hesitant saying
that.
Yeah,
I'm just going to talk more and more quiet.
Now, we're not on the bone. You can. Now, you don't have to talk about the bone anymore.
Okay.
Do you think we should be keeping the mid-sized snook that, in my opinion, are the younger, stronger, better breeders, or do you think the scientists are right and that we should not keep the big snook and let them spawn more? Which one do you think? Do you think it's better to take the mid-sized ones?
I would rather take the big ones so that the mid-sized ones have a chance to reach that big size, because they're much more fun to catch when you get an over 40-inch snook.
That over 40-inch snook is a lot more fun to catch.
It's memorable, and it's,
I would like to see all the snook go through the slot limit, because there shouldn't be one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, it's up to you guys. Like I say, you're under... Nope, you're already hired. You've got the job. You can disagree with me. RJ, did we figure out when their show's going to be on? Not yet, right?
Not yet, but I think we did. I just don't remember.
Okay.
We have to pass the test of today. Yeah,
did I pass the audition? Okay. So, anyway, going on. Snook fishing. Tell us about the last snook you caught, Jeannie.
Last night, it was around Hog Island. He was there was three of them. There was three considerably sized fish that I caught last night amongst the others. But it was real low tide. It was skinny last night. I think we were running at a 0.4. They were up in a creek in a hole, and I happened to found their home. It was a lot of fun.
All right, we're using live bait,
artificial.
Dead bait, artificial.
No, artificial.
So, what kind of tackle do you like for this snook fishing?
You know, honestly, there is one thing that I use too. So, I like to use soft plastics. That's really my go-to is a soft plastic. And then if it's nice and calm, just dead calm water, if I can get back in a creek where it's just calm,
right,
I'll throw a top water plug.
Now, you have a boat. What kind of boat do you have?
I have a Hughes Redfisher.
So it's a pretty skinny draft boat.
Very
you can
skinny.
Go in like 12 inches of water, 14
inches. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you use an electric motor or do you push pull it or how do you get around?
I do have a push pull. Usually in the wintertime I'll push pull, but I have a trolling motor, so I just shut down, out, and I'll trolling motor my way in so I don't spook anything, and then I just trolling motor the rest of the way.
So do you use spinning rods or bait casters?
Spinning.
Mm-hmm. Now, you like 7 foot, 7.5, 6.5?
I like a long rod.
I didn't bring it out. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Are we back to that bone thing again?
We're going back to the extra bone.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a conversation. Just not interesting.
If you didn't say anything, we would have slid on that.
I wasn't doing it. It was your face that took me over the edge. I was like climbing for the wall over here.
I can't control my mouth. I can't control my face.
Okay.
I do like a 7.6 or a 7.10. I really like it.
And see, Alex, you were the one worried about making mistakes.
She's happy now.
She's like, damn, I was cheating. This is good.
You're welcome.
Okay, so
we're
anyway.
7.6
you and your long rod that you like so much.
Yeah.
All right, so
7.6.
Now, why do you prefer that over the other ones? Where's your.
The thought process behind that is just simply a longer cast. I can make a longer cast with, I feel I can with a 7.6 or a 7.10. Now, if I'm getting into someplace skinny, if I'm up in a skinny creek or if I'm around a docks or something, I might have to use a 7 foot pole. But I really do like a longer rod, and I jig a lot, so that longer rod with the tip on the end of it helps me jig, for artificial. And
I don't know why I'm having such a hard time saying this to the girl, but you like a softer tip or a harder tip? I ask these fish questions all the time. I think it's your fault, Judy.
When I'm fishing, I do like a soft tip on my long rod. Okay.
I don't know why this went there, but I'm blaming.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah, I'm blaming it on Jeannie. Yeah, Alex and I were fine over here.
Lord.
Yeah, we were good over here.
All right, boys and girls, collect yourselves.
You're in command and control. Why aren't you doing something?
I'm laughing too hard.
Okay. So anyway, what's going on for that? You can make a lighter cast and still get more distance out of it. Now, I know you use braided line. What weight do you like in the line?
So all of my rods are rigged with different weights, but I'm anywhere between 10 and 20 on my line right now.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Now, one of the things about it is, and this brings up a good point, Alex, you've done a lot of snook fishing.
Yes.
And what size line are you typically
using? On my larger pole, I have 60-pound tests. On my Pen Passion, my lucky Pen Passion, that was my mom's, that she's letting me borrow, I had 30. I was just suggested to go down to 20. I'm getting much better cast from it. I haven't fished enough. Well, I guess I got that 40-pound snook on it.
Okay. We're going to come back to that 40-inch snook in just a minute. Dee, what do you use for line?
I use 15, 17-pound braid.
Okay.
15 to 17.
Now, you've got a lucky hiding spot. That mm-hmm. When's the last time you caught a snook?
A couple weeks ago.
All right.
And the lucky spot is, if I told you right where it was, I'd have to kill you, so I won't tell you right now.
But
it's right next to a boat.
It's right next to, I'll tell, okay, it's next
no,
to
you don't, no, no, it's just, you fish
well, you'd have to find
at a
it
marina,
first.
Yep. More or less, so you
yeah,
fish
this,
right in between the boats.
Yeah.
Now, don't you worry with that 15-pound braid that it's going to rub the one boat or the other boat? Because really, it's at that point, it's almost you pull, he pulls,
yeah.
Whoever pulls ours wins.
Yeah, but I love the fight. I love the feel. Yeah, especially you hook a 40-pound snook on a 15 or 17-pound braid. It's like it's more of a challenge. It's just not like real snatch throwing out. You know what I mean? It's
right.
You got to play it more. You got to wear him down some. It's
all right.
Funner.
What did you catch your snook on?
okay.
you're going to say, oh, Dee's the redneck. She's a crazy. But the first time I caught it, I tried to catch him. I swear he was.
I swear
he was 50 inches plus. I'm not. I swear I'm not exaggerating.
50 inches of snook.
At least. And I was at the
RJ, I apologize in advance. What did you catch this on?
I caught it on a broomstick and some hanging twine.
Okay.
Well, actually, I didn't catch him. He hit it. I had a hook on it, and I had a shrimp, of course.
Okay.
And it hit it, and I went to go yank it up, and when I did it, it broke the broomstick in half and swam away. I'm not kidding you. I had half the broomstick in my hand. So the next day, I was like, I got that. But later on, we did find the broomstick, so we did spit the hook out, thank God. The broomstick was tied to the piling, so we did recover that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was number 9 hanging twine.
I told you she was amazing.
Can we be best friends?
Yeah, yeah, done.
All right. You guys don't really understand is these girls haven't met each other. I know each one of them individually. Jeannie is a customer. Alex is now an employee. Heather, one of the gals from the store, but does our inventory, is going to be joining the program. And Dee, I buy bait from Dee. So I've known all these girls, and when I came up with the idea for this show, I knew instantly who I wanted. So they've never met each other. They're literally meeting each other for the first time today. They've actually known each other, I would say, within the last hour.
Yeah.
So this is actually a show about they get to know each other, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you think this is kind of scripted or... Oh, gee, yeah. This is what we're... No, literally, they've all just met within the last hour.
But to answer your question, though...
Yeah, go ahead.
Two broomsticks later, and I actually caught them and landed them on that 17-pound braid.
High five.
And mine was a 7.6 with a medium tip. Yeah. You know, so. And you must know.
I have a 7.6 broomstick. No,
I mean, after breaking two of them, I figured there's no way I can't, you know, the broomstick's out.
So, an actual broomstick, like you sweep the floor with.
Yep, they sweep the floor with it on the shrimp boat. They were more mad at me that I snapped the broomstick than I missed it. I didn't catch the fish. But yeah, I had to buy them a new broom a couple times. Yep, so
okay.
Now I just drive with a little fishing rod in the back of the bait truck. Nice. You never know when you're going to need it, you know.
Exactly. So,
what about leader?
Leader, I use heavy leader. I'd say 30, 35, fluorocarbon. Snook fishing, probably 2 feet, big long one, depending on where.
I have 20 on mine, and mine's...
Yeah, good arm.
Yeah.
We're on radio, Jeannie.
Long
leader. So, when you hold your hands apart and you're doing about a 4-foot stretch, it's much harder for people on the radio to see this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice again, bit.
Alex, when's your last snook? What was the last snook you caught?
My last snook was over 40 inches. It was out near the Placida Pier. It was...
Now, were you in a boat or on land?
I was on land,
okay.
Fishing from a bridge, and I had a piece of mullet out, and I had a piece of ladyfish out. It was the ladyfish that got hit, and it was a beautiful fish.
So, okay, was this morning, midday, late day?
This was, I would say, about 1 or 2 in the morning.
1 o'clock, 2
yeah.
o'clock in the morning.
Snook are nocturnal. Eaters.
Well, I'm going to say yes and no about the nocturnal feeders, but when big snook go moving around, they know during the day there's more predators. Things can see them going through the water, birds diving on them, animals jumping, people throwing stuff at them. And at night, a snook has an amazing sense of smell, amazing vision. I mean, they see great, and they have the scent or smelling capability of like a wolf. They can see like an eagle, and they can hear like an elephant or a bat. So at night, you take away one of the three. It's dark. They can't see anything. So you can use steel leaders, heavy mono, light mono. It really doesn't matter at night. It's dark out. The snook is going in there because he can smell that. He can't see it. It's dark. So on the smell, they come up to it, and if it's dead bait, it's obviously not making any sound. So this is a smell issue. They're going to come up, grab that. Now, was it a bam hit, or did he just kind of ease off with it?
No, he eased off with it. It was not a crazy hit, but it was a good fight.
So you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, did you just see the line moving off, or was it...
So I find that snook play this little game where they come up to the bait, especially the large snook. They're incredibly smart, I found. They'll come up and they'll hit the bait with their tail, or they'll pick it up in their mouth, and if they feel any tension, they'll drop it. One of the reasons why I always outfish the guys on the pier is because I have patience. Once I have any action on that bait and it goes away, I will hold my rod with my finger on the line for up to 5 minutes for them to come back and take the bait. They have not stolen your bait. They will not take cut bait off your line. You do not need to reel it in and check to make sure your bait's still there. Your bait's still there. You reel it in, you're going to lose the chance of that snook that's hanging around still by your bait, debating on whether or not to pick it up or not. Just wait. He will hit it. You will get the fish. Don't check your bait unless you have, like, a shrimp on.
All right, so if you get cut bait out, now, one of the things that I learned early on about snook and the way they hit and the way they eat is they don't have fingers, right? They can't, like, grab it. So when they go up to get a piece of fish, you have to figure it's kind of like a hot dog that you could chew on, but you could not chew through it to cut bite pieces off of it, because snook don't have teeth to bite through. So what they have to do is they're going to grab something, and they get it up in their mouth. They're going to see if it moves. They, okay, I've got this food, but with no fingers, they're going to hold it there. But they have to turn it endwise to be able to swallow it. They can't swallow it sideways, and because fish have fins, if they were going to swallow it backwards, the fins would get caught in their throat. So they have to be able to turn that bait, swallow it head first so it slides down into their stomach. It's not, so a lot of times when you actually think they've dropped it, they're sitting there holding it in their mouth, deciding how they're going to move it, do what, and all of a sudden, though, if it's just laying there very still, they're not going to move very much with it. They'll move a little bit, and if you pull back, they're going to drop it. It's going to fall out because it's not what they want. But when they pause and they're just sitting there, they're kind of coming in, trying to get it moved around in their mouth so they can actually swallow it. So what happens is when they go to take off, they're using the water pressure from that forward movement to force the bait further into their stomach.
Okay.
So they've got it turned and they start going forward. And when we used to get them with like live ladyfish and mullet and all this, they would hit and they would just steady going off slowly with it. Yeah. And then you didn't do anything because the ends of the fish were sticking out of the side of their mouth. They grabbed it in the middle and they're waiting for it to, they're trying to crush it, kill it, stun it, and then when they stop, they're turning it to get it so they can swallow. Okay. And then when they take off, they use the water pressure to kind of help it go down their throat. And that's when they're actually trying to swallow it. So if you set the hook at that point, you got your fish.
Redfish do the same thing? Because usually when I use cut bait for redfish, like say in a pothole or whatever, so a lot of times they'll hit it real hard, but then they come back to it. And like if you try to, you know, set the hook or something, when it hits hard the first time, you won't get them. But it's like they almost run into it. Kind of, because they smell it, maybe?
Well, they might actually just be trying to stun it or kill it or made them mad or... I really don't know. RJ?
I've seen redfish hit live bait, you know, as a diver. And I've seen them do exactly what you described. They'll hit it. I mean, they'll ram it, like, at speed. And then they'll come back around and grab it. And so that's probably...
They're just trying to make sure it's dead or...
Frank's probably right. They're probably stunning it so they can then come back. Remember, their mouth is underneath, so they've got it. They can't grab like a snook grabs and just come in and hit it.
Right.
So they hit it, they nail it, and then they've got to turn themselves around to be able to grab it. So. But I've seen redfish. They look like a torpedo when they hit white bait or something like that.
Yeah.
Whack.
That's awesome.
And usually what the fisherman does is yank, you know?
Exactly.
And away goes the bait, and
it's
the redfish who doesn't see very well has no idea where it went.
It's like you're, no, not yet.
So, anyway, so you actually landed your snook. You got pictures and everything of it.
I did.
And Dee had a two broomstick snook.
Two broomsticks.
So it was actually a third broomstick. Right?
No, I actually landed it on my fishing rod.
Okay, you got it in the fishing rod.
About the fourth day when I had it. It was a challenge after that, you know.
Okay.
Challenging.
So now, Jeannie, let's go back to your snook. You're in your boat. You're going through some very shallow water back over by the Mac cutoff. And you're casting, what kind of lures?
Top water on.
You had a top water.
Yeah, top water on. I was throwing. I got back in there.
Now, are you using a walk the dog top water or kind of a popper?
Nope, walk the dog.
Okay.
I just threw it out there and walked the dog, and they just exploded. And that's what I like about it. You get into that calm water back in the back up river, back up in the little creeks. It gets real calm. You use a top water plug, and that explosion to me is half the fun. That's fun to watch.
It's full circle because when you use bait, you get to fight the fish. Mm-hmm. When you use a subsurface lure, you feel the strike and you get to fight the fish. Mm-hmm. But when you use a topwater, you get to see it, hear it, you get to feel the hit, you get to fight the fish. Mm-hmm. It's got
amazing.
All the senses in one. It's
really
cool.
It's really great. So, I was walking the dog with my top water, and there was a little hole up there that they were all holed up in. It was, like I said, it was skinny country going through there, and there was a hole at the end of, Mangrove Point. And so I got to play with a couple real big fish last night. It was a lot of fun.
So one of the things that I like to do when I'm back on the flats is exactly as you say. I kind of get away from the beaten path, and I'm going up these little creeks where there's not a lot of boat traffic,
mm-hmm.
where you got to be really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's a big plus if you're by yourself. Because for some reason or other, when you bring somebody with you, they always trip.
Yeah, make a noise.
You get right in the middle of this, and you see kind of a little wake going across the surface, and boom, oh, I'm sorry, The coolers get slammed around, the live well lid goes, they drop the rod on the deck.
Yep.
I don't know why it is, but I'll be coming around the corner, and it's just this perfect little evening going on, and making a cast with that top water. And all of a sudden, ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ba-dunk. You're like, are you kidding me? It was right there. You go to cast, and the only thing that V's doing is hauling butt down the creek.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you mentioned, soft plastics. What kind of, you use, the fluke jerkbait types?
Basically, that's all I use is the zoom flukes.
So, what's your favorite color?
White is working really well right now. I like the, they have a green one, but the white's working really well.
Yeah, well, green, white is, those are two colors.
The white's working really well right now, yeah.
Well, the weird thing about white, it's the one color you can use in clear water
or
dark water.
Right.
It is the only color that can be used at night, daytime, dark water, or clear water.
Yeah,
it is the one versatile color. It doesn't have a bad time you can throw it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think you did wrong. You got the one that should probably work.
Yeah, so, it works, if it's choppy out, if it's rough out, it doesn't matter. The color just works. I put it on an inline spinner. Works well in choppy water.
Oh, you're making the guys nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't know how to make an inline spinner. Nobody makes one. You modify one to make it into what you want, and you're making these guys crazy because they've heard what you're doing, and they want to know how you're doing it, and I try and explain them. They go, no, that can't be it. I'm like, you're right, it's not.
Yeah. No, that's not at all how to do it.
Sure.
No, that will not work.
Right.
So I was like, okay, no, I couldn't possibly know that. All right. And it's just funny because she took a very, really, it's a lure that's been working since I was a little kid. Freshwater is what it's known for. But she turned it into a saltwater bait by removing the hooks that are on it, putting on her own hooks, and it really works good. It's an inline spinner. awesome. But it's so simple that the guys think it's got to be harder than that. That can't be it. It's just, you know, it works. So all you have to do is replace this hook, put your jerkbait on it. Well, that can't be it. Okay, you're right. You know, it's some of the best ideas in the world are just really simple.
Simple,
you
know? Basic, absolutely. Back to the basics.
Yeah. Sure. Now, you use artificials.
Yeah.
What do you use?
Well, hopefully my brother ain't listening, because I'll have to find someone else to eat Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes, well, you don't have to say the name brand. Just soft plastic or hard.
I got a quick story if you really want to hear the
funny
story.
Let's go.
So we were out fishing one time with the Wounded Warriors, and we were taking some guys out fishing, and of course they all used the white shad tails and the chartreuse jig heads for the trout with the popping cork. I said, you know what, you got to really try the, you know, the live bait under a popping cork. It's the best. They said, oh no. So we went out there. And they outfished me 4-1, and that's not a joke. I got so mad that this is funny. I football kicked the bait bucket off the bow of the boat, aerator and all. And I was like, "Hey, Mr. Jim, can I please borrow a shad tail?" Swear to you, but those
I can actually picture her sitting on the front of the boat.
I was angry.
Boom!
I kicked
the bucket, the
aerator, everything went flying. They laughed at me. He laughed at me, but. He did. He gave me it.
I have to admit, I would be laughing at you, too. I'm laughing at you now when I wasn't even there.
And the snook were all saying, oh, look, drone delivery.
Yeah, we were trout fishing, and I mean, they were killing me, and we're very competitive around the house.
Oh, no.
And he was killing me, and I said, you know what, Mr. Jim, please, can I borrow a shad tail? They were using those quarter-ounce chartreuse jig heads. Simple, under a popping cork. Mm-hmm. And he was murdering them. And he was in the bow. I was at the bow, and he was at the stern. I mean, the same slot.
Is this your brother or your husband?
No, it was the guy we took fishing at for the Wounded Warriors.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so, bro, if you're listening, take it easy on me. Yeah, it's because growing up, man, you didn't use anything but live bait. That sent a lot of our... children to college that way. So if you
better be glad you will use a lot of live bait.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you make your
money. No, I don't use it. Yes, I do.
Yeah. All right, Alex, do you throw lures?
Very, very, very rarely. I don't have the confidence behind them yet to catch fish with them. I'm definitely live bait and cup bait only at this time. But I would like for that to change. But it's just mostly cup bait right now. Tired of my bucket stinking out my car.
Yeah, in Florida when it's like 150 degrees in the car, you put the bait bucket inside, forget, go into a store for a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Oh.
No, you always get your bait when you're on your way home.
Yes.
Not on your way to go out and get a couple other things.
Because you know they jump out, and then you can't find them after that. You know? Like,
you always want to get
you do find them, but not right off the bat a couple days later, you know.
Where are they? Yeah. Oh, God, there it is.
I've had that happen.
That's a real thing.
It does happen.
Yeah. Sniff, sniff, because I know what's coming. All right. There's been a lot of Spanish mackerel out along the intercoastal, up from Cape Hayes out to Belkran Pass, and all up and down the beaches out there. Any of you guys into the Spanish mackerel thing?
Oh, yeah. I love them.
You're into Spanish mackerel?
Yeah, because they hang around with the trouts most of the time, right?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, Castmaster Spoon.
Yep.
I love it. Just throw it as far as you can. And it's just reel as fast as you can.
Reel as fast.
That's all I do.
Throw that spoon out. Reel as fast.
Yeah,
reel
as fast as you can. About a 3/4 ounce. You know, get some on there. You can
really
launch out there. Yeah.
So.
And then I just go to town, and I've been pretty successful like that. I mean, that's not. There's really. I wish I could tell you it was more scientific.
I'm a big fan of Spanish mackerel because if you eat them that night, they're always really good.
Yeah.
And if it's shiny, fast moving through the water, they're going to eat it.
Oh,
I mean, it's awesome that way. You are a little more, you'll spend money more than I will because I won't pay the price for a Castmaster and throw it back. I use the gotchas, and usually when I get into Spanish, I'm taking out something I don't like at that point. I put a little black steel leader on it, and I pick either something really inexpensive or something that won't catch fish that I've used and used and it doesn't work on anything, and throw it out, reel it in real fast, and I catch mackerel with it.
Yeah.
But it's a way to get rid of lures I don't like, because you get a mackerel on, and his buddies think he's, like, eating and really enjoying it. Mm. So the more he shakes his head, the more they go, the more they think, wow, this must be really good. Mm. So they all boil in, and inevitably, one of them bites the line.
Yeah.
And whether it's braid or mono, it's gone.
Yeah.
Every time.
That's why you got business, you know what I mean?
After you get them on, how do you keep cranking that fast?
I just keep
moving. Yeah, sure, you don't slow down.
I sweat. Don't get me wrong. Take it to the boat.
We're going to get you some bicycle pedals for that reel.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you don't have to slow down at all.
Yep, that's how I do it.
Oh. All right. So you haven't been able to come in contact with the mackerel yet?
I was on a boat where one was caught, but I did not get to reel it in, unfortunately.
Okay, so, well, that's okay. That's why you're here. You're the newbie. You're going to be learning all this stuff. Spanish mackerel girl, Jeannie?
I ain't seen one, and I ain't seen one at all this year. I'm not a big Spanish mackerel, though.
No. So, you like fishing the backcountry, though?
I do.
You're
I
not
do.
Much in the open
Mm-mm.
water stuff?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot.
All right. Now, Jeannie, what's your favorite fish to fish for? Just your, if you were going to, okay, for the next 6 months, this is what you had to fish for.
Redfish.
Redfish.
If that was the only fish I could ever fish again, it'd be a redfish.
All right. Dee, what's your favorite fish to fish
You're
for?
You're going to laugh. Mangrove snapper.
Mangrove
snapper.
Snappers.
Big snapper.
Well, that's awesome. Why mangrove snappers?
They're just good eats, I think. And they're
okay.
Plentiful. You can get them. They're big this year.
Yeah, they're like
they're
14
big.
Inches in a lot of places
yeah.
this year.
I mean, you could...
Some of the biggest ones.
Well, I mean, not only that, I mean, what else can you keep? You really can't keep much more than that, you know, nowadays.
Well, I wasn't even thinking about it that way, but that's okay. That's a good thought. Good thought. I wasn't considering that as an but yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, your favorite fish?
My favorite fish is...
To fish for.
Well, since saltwater is so new to me, the majority of fish I catch is the first fish I have ever caught of that species, so I would have to say at this time something I haven't caught yet.
Okay. So
not really the answer you wanted, but...
Did you do any freshwater fishing back home?
A long time ago.
All right. So you're basically restarting all this?
Yes.
All right. So you haven't decided what your favorite is.
The last time I fished, I was fishing for catfish, and now down here, that's the... What I'm
taboo.
Trying to avoid.
Yeah. 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 You get minus points on fish
that's right.
after that.
All right, Jeannie, tell us about what you like about redfish.
I think it's the challenge of a redfish for me. They're just tricky little things. They're just not, even when they were plentiful, they're just not as plentiful as, say, a snook, or as easy to catch as a snook. You know, you might have a big school of snook, but you have one redfish. They're just more challenging to me. That's really, really my only answer for that. I just like the challenge of a redfish.
Awesome. And now, Dee, we kind of touched a little bit on
that,
but you like the mangrove snappers.
Yes, sir.
What's up with the mangrove snappers? What makes it special for you?
I don't think it really makes anything special.
The frying
they
pan.
Taste good. Yeah, they taste good, man. You see me, I love to eat, man.
We have our bookends and we have our soft, fluffy
creamy
middle.
Filling.
Yeah,
that's right.
We have our soft, fluffy, creamy filling here.
No, really. There's, I can't really say, you know. It fills the freezer up.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if there's something more, so I was checking back. Now, you throw... bait and artificials, or just bait, or just artificials? What do you like to use for snapper?
I just use a shrimp tail, just a piece of it, on a jig head.
Right.
Fish by the pilings.
Now, you don't use a whole live shrimp for it, though.
No, I don't. I just use a piece of it. I guess I've been more successful that way.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the smell, or... I don't know what would cause it to do that, but I mean...
I think they're less likely to steal your bait.
Yeah,
because too much.
Yeah, you got to keep them away from the pinfish. You know, them little suckers.
Yeah, once you get fin fishing there, they chew up everything, and then they take little pieces off of it. So, Jeannie, your favorite way to do redfish? Artificials, live bait, what is it?
Artificial. It's just been... I've fished live bait, gosh, all coming up, I've fished live bait. I've only been fishing artificial for, I'm going to say, about 3 years. But I have caught more fish on artificial than I've caught on live bait. I truly have. Now, I still go back to, every now and again, I'll be like, you know, I'm missing the boat. I need to throw some cut bait out there. I never can. I can never catch as much on live bait or cut bait as what I catch on artificial. I got no explanation for it.
All right, RJ, favorite fish... What would it be? Your favorite fish to fish for?
I'm going to go 100% with Jeannie. I love fishing for redfish. It's like going hunting. Yeah. You know, you got to find them, you got to target them. There's just a whole lot of work that goes to it, and you got to know how to hook them. And they put up a great fight. It's a great challenge to do that. And I'll also go with Jeannie, too, is, you know, I'm an artificial guy. I like artificials. I'm not much of a live bait, even though I often get out fished, but... You know, it's also a challenge to convince an animal that this piece of plastic or rubber that you throw out there is something edible, you know. And I'm going to assume one of the reasons you do so well with artificial is that I've known that women have much better finesse in moving that bait around. You know, guys.
Are you saying I'm like blunt?
Yeah. No, really. You know, those guys we're walking the dog like this and whipping the rod back and forth, and this thing is not behaving naturally. And you watch the women do it, and you know they're actually thinking about what it looks like under the water, and that's the deficit of a Y chromosome, I guess. But
I think there's truth to that. There's
yeah, I know. I've seen it over and over again. And, you know, I haven't been a diver for most of my life. I've gotten to see how things look underwater. And if you work a bait properly, you can't tell it from another fish. You know? Mm-hmm. But you can tell when somebody's working a bait because it's doing things that you know a fish can't do. You know, it's like watching an alien spaceship versus a plane. You know, that alien thing is doing some weird stuff that, you know, physically a plane's not going to do. Well, the fish knows that, too, when it comes to the bait.
I've never actually done that analogy, but, I mean, it fit.
Yeah.
Zip, side.
No, if you see something doing something weird, you're leaving, you know. I mean, and the fish has got the same idea. I don't know what that is, but I ain't here.
I'm surprised they didn't. I've been sitting here this whole time doing weird stuff, and then nobody's left out.
RJ and Jeannie, so as someone who's currently looking for a tagged redfish and who only uses bait, if you could only use bait for a redfish, what would you use?
Why don't you go first, Jeannie?
Mine would be my fluke all day long.
If you can only use live or not, dead bait, but
live or natural bait.
You had to use one of those. What would be your favorite natural bait? Live, dead, crab, shrimp, fish, whatever. What would be your favorite?
Probably just a crab.
Crab bowl?
Yeah.
And I'd probably go with shrimp.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've done real well with a DOA shrimp also artificially. So you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. But yeah, I would think shrimp is probably the easiest to get them to hit. And then, but they seem to love crabs. I mean, you see them digging through the sand all the time looking for crabs.
Size wise, what would be ideal? Just a small two
just
finger.
A small, yeah. Yeah. Small crab. Yeah. Just a small crab.
So what? Alex was saying was, do you like your crabs for your redfish? You get the little blue crabs. Are you two finger, three finger, four fingers? When we do crabs, you put your fingers across the top from the point to point, and that's going to tell you about how big it is. So, you know, three.
That big?
Yeah, three probably fingers. About that big. Yeah, three fingers. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, just a small little crab is, they don't need much, you know, that's a small little crab.
So you can even use a quarter size, they don't even have to be that big, you can use a little quarter size for them.
Yeah, something around that size, a little bit bigger, but then I just, you know, take the pliers and kind of cut off one side of him so that smell gets out there and check him out there, and it don't take long. I'm not a, you know, I don't really set up and wait for them to come either. You know, I'll throw it out there for a minute and then, you know, trolling motor on and you know, they'll hit just like that. So If they're there, he's coming to it.
Absolutely. And if I don't have a boat, fishing from shore in this area, is there any places you'd recommend?
I know, I've heard a lot of good things about Casperson Beach.
Okay.
I've not. Have you been there?
No, I have never been there, but I've heard
things.
I have. Casperson's a great beach to
work. If someplace new that I was going to go, it would be there.
Yeah, it's one of the last unnourished beaches where they haven't taken sand from out in the Gulf and thrown it on the beach, so it's that grayish, blackish sand. There's a lot of sandbars there, and that's where the reds hang out, between the beach and the sandbar.
Very rocky. You do have to be careful. Do like your Google Earth and kind of look at. But I've heard a lot of great things about that place.
Nice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, on a side note, tickets are up for sale for this Friday night. What time?
No, next Saturday.
Next Saturday. Next Saturday night.
That's the 22nd.
Saturday the 22nd. Tickets are up for sale for My Life in Two Short Sets. That's RJ, our command and control RJ. And you can get the tickets right here at WKDW. And he does a hell of a show. So come down and get some tickets for the show. It's going to be right here at Common Grounds. He gets quiet when I do that. So anyway,
I get embarrassed.
He gets embarrassed, but he's awfully good. And he's a luthier. He actually can build the instruments he plays.
That's awesome.
Yes. So I wish I had talent.
What instrument do you play?
Well, anything with strings. Anything with strings.
He can play anything with strings. We'll go into that later.
Oh, okay.
I was actually...
The flute?
I actually played music for a living, yes. Okay. Real stuff.
Spoons?
No, not that. Okay.
He said real stuff.
I probably did, but not since I was very young.
Yeah. Right. I ain't heard somebody play the spoons in years.
I know.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see.
Thanks.
Where are we?
Frank.
Yeah, do I got music? Jeannie.
Sir.
Dee. Alex, they're going to be hosting and starring in a new show, Fishy Radio. So it's soon coming, next couple weeks. That's going to be there. In the meantime, this is Fish and Frank, and Robert is just not there this week.
Yay!
Robert! Back
Yeah, I think this is a much nicer group.
It is.
RJ in Command and Control. And I guess we'll be back next week, boys and girls. Bye!
Okay, you're clear.